Welcome every morning. Welcome to the Vulture's Nest, and I'm so excited today. I'm T. I'm filling in for Sean Moranahan this morning, and with me today I have the very educational Josh Cole, of course.
Good morning, class.
Morning. And the lovely and delightful Jess Clayman.
Clayman. Very close.
Oh, no.
Close enough. No one ever gets it.
No.
There's a J in there. It makes no sense.
I know. Welcome, Jess.
I'm here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And our vulture nesting newbie, Peter Gleason. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. A new fresh meat.
I'm so excited. So you've done your research. You're ready for this. This is a serious journalistic show here. Just so you know, it's not. Guys.
That's a hard time to make.
We are here this morning to discuss the topics around the world, actually, today. We're going to go all around the world. And I'm going to open up, let's get cracking, I'm going to open up with lovely Cassie Sainsbury, who was recently detained at Bogota Airport in Colombia for carrying a mere 5.8 kilograms of cocaine, cocaína, the white stuff, which I know nothing about, mum, who's listening in from New Zealand. So, guys, first question to you guys, we're going to ask it, innocent or guilty?
Is she? Oh, I'm erring toward guilty, only because her flights were booked in Hong Kong the day before she left.
100%. I think I read that it was from a male Singapore.
Made no sense. And then that's sus.
Yeah, and the thing is, she was actually American authorities tipped off the Colombian authorities that this was happening as well. Josh, what do you think?
Geez, I mean, you're supposed to say allegedly.
Yes.
And I guess the first thing it makes you think of is how many times can you blame the baggage handlers or the flight attendants or the bloke who looked at you side-eyed when you were boarding the plane? It is 6 kilos. You know when you picked up 6 kilos, you know. It's a few bottles of milk. If you thought, and they check all of that weight too, you know.
Yeah.
But I guess she just
It's hard enough getting under that 20 kilos as it is to board the plane.
Why would you give away another 6?
I know, right?
Why would you?
That's baggage fees. There's so many of them.
Well, they were paying for, possibly. Peter, what do you think?
Didn't she claim someone gave them to her and they told her they were headphones you should bring back for a gift?
Yes, the interpreter that she trusted. Yes.
And wrapped in this little plastic bag. So at least she's guilty of being kind of stupid.
I mean, what do you think they're wrapped in that people aren't going to smell them? It could possibly be. They've all consistently said she's naive. Mm. Isn't that great? She commits a crime and everyone goes, no, she's too naive to do that. There's no possible way.
I feel like that would be the byline to my crime story. She didn't do it. She's just not all there.
Look, I have to agree. Peter, I know you read something quite interesting. I have a theory too. I agree. Look, is she in it just for the pageant?
Yeah, because in the prison she's in, they have an annual beauty pageant. So they pick one girl from each wing of the prison, seven competitors, and they compete for a prize of nothing really.
Just street cred in the prison.
Street cred,
yeah.
This is crazy.
I feel really bad because there is a chance she might get 25 years, but hey, annually. I wonder if there's an age difference there because you're going to age in 25 years. Is she going to go for Miss Senior?
Colombian prison
wing A. La la la.
I want to know how they choose who gets to compete in the pageant because this is a massively overcrowded prison. Mm. It's got
200% capacity or something.
So many people in there. How do they select their winner? How do they select who gets to compete? Because then they get to dress up nicely and get their hair done and their makeup and get flowers and praise and attention. I would be fighting for that opportunity. I would be the first.
You'd be shanking?
I'd be shanking something terrible. I'd be ready to go. I haven't had a shower in 6 days. I need this. That would be
It's kind of against the not trying to be Miss Beauty. But anyway, I know you're keen to get on board of that, Josh.
My vast knowledge of women's prison systems gotten from Orange is the New Black.
Oh my God, and Wentworth.
True.
Tells me that a lot of beauty pageant things would not happen. You can't give them a tiara.
Oh, that's
true. Or if
true.
You do, it would have to be paper.
Yep.
Actually, I've heard a story about how someone used paper playing cards to make a pipe bomb in a prison. So maybe we can give her a paper
This is a
tiara.
Super, super corrupt prison, though, apparently. Really corrupt.
Yeah, if you've got a bit of money, you can
I think
live
it was
well.
The Colombian government years and years and years ago, or someone years and years ago said that it was, criminally corrupt. Not for like want of a better term.
They should put the owners in jail. And then the conditions will get even better because they want to look after themselves.
That's it.
All right, guys. Well, that's it. I think it's really pretty much the 10 or 9 needed another mini-series to do. So maybe in a bit of a stitch up. The next thing I want to talk about today, this is kind of two in one. So the research has come out that two beers are potentially better painkiller than paracetamol. Agreed. Do we drink beer? Do you drink? Do you, Peter?
Or? No, I don't drink.
So you're just taking the paracetamol. Well done.
Yeah, that don't work either.
Right. So okay. First of all, we'll talk about that. Agreed. I do. I have a couple of beers every now and then. So
I'm a couple.
What do you think the result of this is? Are people going to be like, oh, I don't need it? My drinking is justified. I know we talked about a couple of weeks ago the Australian values, and everybody said, and I actually listened to other people talk about that, and they also agreed that drinking was an Australian value. So is this just more Australianism perpetuating Australianism?
I don't think it should be an Australian value.
No.
We have such a terrible binge drinking culture in this country, and as a result, there was some statistic came out the other day about alcoholism and alcohol-related hospitalizations that was horrific.
Oh, wow.
So if we're now like saying, no, it's all right, put the Panadol down, just jump on some, not Tui's New or whatever. It's not.
It's Carlton Draft,
oh, it's
actually.
Carlton
yeah,
Draft.
Sorry.
Oh, dear. There we are. I don't drink beer. Okay.
You will now.
Well, apparently.
Yep.
But no, I think it's a terrible idea. I don't think that they should be perpetuating this at all.
I mean, what are you supposed to do for the under 18 or the people who are just on the cusp, just getting into drinking? It's all right, Mum. They said it was okay. Yeah. I can have two beers.
Got a terrible headache today. I'll just go and sit down and drink my beers and it's fine.
Exactly. Josh, are you do you drink much, Josh?
That's
I grew up in a country town where there wasn't a supermarket, but there were five pubs. Well, four pubs and a golf club that was pretty much only there to get drunk at as well. I think the main problem with that argument is simply that I've never met anyone who can stop at two beers, which is that whole binge drinking culture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But people are more likely to do both, and mixing alcohol and painkillers is a terrible idea because both hurt your liver. And in fact, when you hear like those stories from the US about like Panadine deaths, it's usually because they were drunk as well. So.
Oh.
But we also do have a culture, I think, in this country of like overuse of prescription medication and over-the-counter medication as well.
Mm.
We seem to pop a pill for anything these days. I know I do, which is a terrible thing to do. It's like, oh, I've got a headache. I'll just take three Panadol and halfway down the day I've taken eight and it's terrible. And
cheers.
Yeah. But people,
anyone listening today, if you need to call Linda,
okay. Go see your doctor. Yes. But no, we have a terrible, I think, culture surrounding prescription medication and over-the-counter medication as well. So I don't know, it's a bit of a double-edged sword.
And here's on the flip side, and I wanted to bring this up. So also, I sad story, but I think it was 2 years ago, maybe now, a year ago, where Reiner Thaiday, forgive my pronunciation, was convicted of killing the eight children. Darwin, I want to say, Northern Territory. It was pretty bad. She kind of went on a killing rampage. And the psychiatrist has come back and said, long marijuana use has caused psychosis.
Mm.
And eventually called this psychosis psychotic break. I feel a little bit, I'm going to go a bit conspiracy theory, I feel a little bit like there's a push in the media to down marijuana, but up the drinking.
That's an interesting theory.
For commercialism reasons.
It's an interesting theory.
Okay.
It's a very interesting theory, I think. I think that the media that we do have in Australia does perpetuate a drinking culture.
Mm-hmm.
And everything in Australia perpetuates a drinking culture. And it's not one that I don't drink, so it's it's one that I notice a lot because I'm not, I guess, pulled in by it.
Is there stigma when you say, I don't drink?
Yeah, such a terrible stigma. Everyone's like, oh, you're so boring.
Really? Oh, you are not boring.
I know.
Boo. Oh, we should stop having our little girl chat over here. I apologize. I love. Just want to point out, we've got a lovely gender balance nesties today. I'm very excited about that. Josh, do you think, I mean, because, you know, America's just gone and made, California just made marijuana legal. There's a lot of financial benefits as well as a pain relief. Why are we not in the media pushing that? What's behind that?
Well, for one thing, it is still illegal here. There's only very limited medical trials going on. it's mostly just the story. I mean, you grow up being told it's wrong, it'll make you stupid, it'll make you crazy, it'll make you lazy. That was a bit of a poem.
Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, like green eggs and ham. Yeah.
There's a joke in there, I know, somewhere. I'm looking at you, Pete. Say him, you're fine.
But yeah, there's it's worth asking. And for all the imagined health problems, I think it should just be treated like any other substance. Some people can handle it, some people can't, be it for mental health reasons or for physical health reasons, you know. We all know the bloke who's like out on the floor after four beers, and then we know the bloke who can put away a couple of six packs and at least he thinks he's still got it together. So,
yeah. Yes, I had an interesting conversation last night with someone who said, "I'm sorry, I'm so drunk," and then fell over. No, you're fine. It's fine. It wasn't me. It wasn't Peter.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
As someone who doesn't really do either, what kind of, for pain relief for yourself, what do you tend to go for?
I just harden up.
I harden up. I take my concrete.
Sometimes I just cry like a little girl.
We're glad to announce that Peter will be hosting a new health show.
Harden up, Australia. What's wrong with you?
Harden up, Australia. Goodness. Oh, guys, well, I think we're going to quickly do one more before that. Just quickly, I know it is, we should look again. Like, I think I agree with you, Josh, when you said media reporting on media, a little bit naff, but Fairfax walking out of the door this week, the reporting staff, and what blazing error was on the front page.
Oh my goodness, I love. Now see, I'm dyslexic, so it took me a really long time to get this error out.
Okay.
But on the front page of the Sydney Morning Herald yesterday, it was something about the troubling economy, but spelt with an M instead of an N. So economy.
Economy.
I love that.
Same.
Economy.
Who missed that? Well, whose first day on the job was that?
That's what happens when all the editors go on strike.
It was on purpose. This is what happens when we don't have quality journalists. This is what you're looking forward to.
That would be a great protest. It would be a great strike.
I reckon that's what happened.
Really? Do you think?
That's what I would have done.
It's clever. Slip it in there before you leave.
So who have they paid off? The thing that I loved is, and I said to you guys before, is they were filming them as they walked out. I was like, who's reporting on the reporters? We're leaving. This is the Matrix.
Wow. Some scab's gone across a picket line there.
Someone has, obviously.
Guys, I was about to say there's no need. They've got marketing staff, and also some of the senior management actually pitched in. They were probably journalists 10 or 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So,
I think it's an important protest, though. All things aside.
Oh, definitely.
It's
It was about pay cuts, or
well, it was about that they sacked 125 people in one day.
A quarter
of their editorial staff.
Now, from the inside, guys, I did actually work at Fairfax once upon a time, and I can tell you the journalists were already overworked.
Yeah. Mm.
You could never get hold of them, that you've got tips coming in, and you can't, you literally couldn't get a hold of a journalist.
No.
They were hot desking, which is, I know, it can be quite
crazy.
Hard. You come in, I'm currently working in a hot desk situation as well, where you come in and maybe you don't have space, just go away again. Like, it's just not conducive. And this is one of our flagship newspapers of Australia, and you've got that.
When you get rid of the fourth estate, it all falls apart a little bit. So I think that a lot of people need to remember the importance of journalism in politics and in investigative realms, not just what the Kardashians are wearing that we see on Facebook and Twitter.
Twitter. Yay, let's make an article out of Twitter. All right, so we're going to leave it on that one. So I'm going to play you out for our break, Warrior by Laura Marling. Sorry, I need glasses. Laura Marling. And we'll be back in a few.
He means to ride me on. He sees a battle that he don't want to face alone. I bolt upwards and I shake him off my back. He falls to his knees onto a bloody track. I can't be your horse anymore. You're not the warrior that I was looking for. Fearing solitude began to bathe. He saw that I was short, stuck a knife into my leg. Good luck walking on in your own bloody trail. This noble path you're on will send us both to hell. Your horse anymore. You're not the warrior that I was looking for. One morning I awoke to someone calling me. A priestess I'd seen once in some arcana dream. Pulled an orange from the ground. Is this my warrior?
Welcome back, guys. We are back on the Nesties again with Josh, Jess, and Peter. Feeling good, Peter?
I'm feeling more than adequate.
You're feeling good. I do want to, I think Josh brought up a really good point. I do want to circle back. None of us think that 25 years in an overcrowded Colombian prison is a justified justified punishment, whether she is guilty or not guilty. So just want to make that clear.
No.
I still think she's going for Miss World. Miss Prisoner World 2017.
Miss Colombian Prison.
Miss Colombian Prison. Anyway, we've got to get off that. We've got to move on. Okay, guys. So I just want to talk about now, looking at my notes because I'm organised, Northern Territories. Actually, we've got Northern Territories. They have just said that it's due to the declining population in the Northern, in Darwin especially, it's the third or fourth year they've recorded negative population growth, and also 25% less women are immigrating there. So, Peter, how far would you move for meeting a woman?
Not very. I'd don't like people. I'd probably move to avoid meeting people.
there's one for you, Darwin. There's one.
If they air condition the outside, I'm there.
Air conditioning. Agree.
It's too hot.
Josh, have you ever had the romantic bug? Have you ever had made the move for a person, woman?
No.
Would you?
Yes. I would, but not Darwin.
Not Darwin. I would, but not Darwin. What are your limits?
Actually, it's not gee, it's not distance that's the limit. I would move to America, Japan, wherever else, just not Darwin.
I love that your first choice was America.
I know, right? If there is a degree of suffering attached there. But it's a big place. Statistically, you're still likely to do okay.
Okay, good, yeah. Good. But not Darwin. Why not Darwin? What? I've never been, guys. I actually was talking about going and going for a visit there. Possibly because there's lots of men. Maybe.
Darwin needs a wife.
Darwin needs a wife. I'm coming. I'm the Darwin Bachelorette.
Move over, Miss Colombian prison.
Miss Lover. Darwin Bachelorette right here. Why not Darwin? What's wrong? Guys, you guys, have you all been? Have you been there?
I've never been. I'd love to go.
Yeah.
Lots of friends
have
been.
Shall we go?
Let's go.
Let's take the vulture's nest on the road.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, what's wrong with it?
I don't want to be a smug Sydney cider, but there is just that general problem. There's not a lot of work there unless you work in a few specific fields.
Which is why there's a decline in the population, because it's generally male-dominated.
I mean, we heard this when Barnaby Joyce was telling us, oh, just don't complain about Sydney house prices, move to Tamworth. I'm like, yes, and how many jobs are there for the people who move there? Or do you want them to commute a few hours to the nearest job every day? Yeah. And that's the problem. I mean, it's easy to say we need more people. Well, give the people something to do when they get there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it speaks quite loudly to a huge gender inequality in mining as well, because and a lot of the industries that do work that are in Darwin. I think that's what we're speaking to here, is that just a huge gender inequality in a lot of fields.
What could Darwin produce? I mean, what is in Darwin? We've got mining. You've got soldiers, the army's there, is that right?
I'm not entirely sure.
There
I
is a presence.
So.
There's a big military base up there.
Yeah.
Okay. Not another reason why I want to go.
Lots of crocodiles.
Lots of crocodiles. They've got the beer can boat race yearly thing where they build.
Yeah, that's a huge employer. someone's going to drink all those beers instead of taking Panadol.
That's why they're saying that. That's my point.
It's Tourism Darwin that is funding that study into beers are better than Panadol. It's got to be.
I'm pretty sure. So what else? I mean, what else could they produce up there that could make people? They need to start thinking outside the box, really.
Well, I don't know. What's the infrastructure like in Darwin as well? Could they? Do they have a good infrastructure for a metropolis style?
I think they've got space, don't they? Yeah. They've got the space, but it's not the interest. All right, so I'm going to talk about now, probably our last one today, is recently, well, this week, I think it was this week, Mike and Heather Martin, who are the creators, producer, director of Daddy-O-5, who have become famous for pranking their children. Now, Jess, you've seen that more, because now they've actually all been taken off. The videos, what was happening on
them? So there was kind of like one of the kids, they spilled ink on his bedroom floor and blamed him for it and sent him into a state of hysteria. They told him he was being adopted. I think they've left their kids somewhere once or something along those lines. They're not nice pranks. Pranks are never nice.
No.
But it's particularly cruel. It's a father and his wife, so their stepmom. Mm,
yes. Mm. The children are ranging from, I think, like 5 to 11.
11-ish.
There's a couple of kids. So what's actually happened this week, the two of the children have been taken away from them. They've lost custody. Have been given to the biological mother, who then posted a video with her lawyer.
A very strange video.
I don't know. It ranks up there with Amber Heard and Johnny Depp's video apologising. They then put a video on saying, "We've got the children and now they're happy." Yeah, because they realise that once you get over 1 million views on YouTube, you get money. And that's what I think the parents. I watched a couple of things where the dad was like, "Oh, now my kids look at me like I'm a superhero." But you can see snippets. Again, they're all being taken down. You can see snippets of them. But the kids are hysterical. The kids are actually pretty upset. It's pretty mean. Pete, what's the best prank your mum ever pulled on you?
My mum's not a prankster.
She had you, didn't she?
I am my mum's joke. No. Do you think the kids getting taken off, maybe like that's a prank?
I want to believe
like
it.
Like child services are just pranking everyone, like...
Ha ha, here's got your children.
You. Oh my god.
That is the meanest prank of all, I think. Agreed. Have they gone too far? Who's here? Was it right for the children to be taken away? Have they gone too far generally to Manessies? What do you guys say? As people who none of us who have children, what are your opinions?
Yeah, no, I think clearly what they did to those kids was pretty messed up and shouldn't have been done in the first place, in my opinion. I think it's pretty messed up to traumatize your children.
And then film it.
And then film it and then put it online forever for everyone to see.
Okay, and millions of views. Come on, you guys. Come on.
So I don't know if it was an overreaction. I think the way it was handled was maybe not the best and it didn't need to be as highly publicized, or there could have been more of a mediation process or something along those lines. But ultimately those kids like don't deserve that. That's horrible.
It was pretty, like, you saw them again. Look, we don't have children ourselves, so we can't, parents know how much their children can take.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And the answer was some of it was scripted. I was like, well, those kids deserve Oscars because that was some pretty good acting. And why then are you not putting them into that? So kids are scripted, it was acted, it was...
Then that's a different story. If the kids are in on it...
Wait, when they say some of it was scripted, does that mean like dad's bit was scripted but the kids' part wasn't scripted? Is that...
I mean, if you get a chance to see them in the reactions, you kind of got to think that was what they were talking about. But,
yeah, it was a pretty genuine reaction from the kids.
I feel so. So, Josh, do you think it's okay to prank your kids?
Well, here's a boring old man way to put it.
Enlighten us.
I think, Jess, you've worked a bit in film, or at least like sourcing talent for film.
Yeah.
Have you ever done much work with kids?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, you'd know, of course, that parents have to sign off on some of the stuff that their kids do in films, like if there's violence or coarse language. In this case, it's the parents themselves putting the kids up for a role that otherwise they'd probably have to give permission for. So they've sort of decided without any input or say-so from anyone else.
Or the child.
Yeah, to subject their kids to something that the acting industry says is wrong. So, you know, it's a bit shit of them.
Yeah.
Oh, also, other quick point. It's just a joke is used as a defense for too many bad behaviors.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Oh, as two comedians, I think Peter and I were like, aww.
You don't have to hurt people's feelings.
Yeah, but it's like that prank culture where you can run up to someone and say, oh, your dad just got hit by a car. Oh, just joking. And like they've already had a breakdown, but it's okay because you told a joke.
Oh, no, it's okay because we filmed it, we put it on YouTube, and now it's gone viral.
And we're making lots of money from
it. So it's okay. You got to say, I mean, how much do you think what they were doing was driven by money? Do you think they knew how popular it was going to be? Because they had multiple videos with millions of views. That is a moneymaker.
It
was there any other reason to upload them besides getting paid?
And humiliating your kids.
His defense was, Mike, they looked at me like I was a superhero.
No.
After he did
Maybe
that.
Maybe a super villain.
Yeah. That's where miscommunication.
You're not
it was
Batman,
villain.
Dad. You're the Joker. Yeah.
Well, he is Iron Man, but they're the residents of New York, which has been flattened.
They're collateral damage.
Yeah. Well done, guys. Look, I think on that note, I want to thank you so much for coming in. So again, Peter, welcome. Well done. It's your first time on the Vulture's Nest.
Hooray. Thank you.
Josh, as always, marching through the double up there. Thank you so much. And Jess, yeah, I think it's bedtime now.
It's bedtime.
It's bedtime now.
It's bedtime for me.
Great, guys. Well, keep going. Keep listening. And we've got Sophie on for So Hot right now. So listen in, and I'm going to play you out to Creator by James. Again, I need glasses. Chatburn. All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Listen in next week.
Bye.
Decided to leave me alone. in this world. Oh, I gave the world my love last night. Gave the world my blood last night. Whoa. I gave the world my